So what we have today is the Luisa and the divinization in the Most Holy Divine Will. Now, the reason this is chosen is because this is a big misunderstanding for a lot of people who hear about the divine will and people talking about this divinization. And a lot of people say, well, this is heresy and, you know, this is, you know, there's no such thing as divinization. But if you look at the small print, and this is something that you really should pray about in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Listen to John Paul II tell us through his encyclicals about what divinization really means, or deification. To be deified is what God is calling us to possess. So it's, you know, people say, well, I'm living the divine will, I'm doing divine acts. And people go, what are you talking about? And we can't do divine acts. God does divine acts. What we do in the divine will is we surrender our human will. We use our free will to choose the divine will. And then we say to the Lord, Lord, you breathe in my breathing. You beat in my heart beating. You walk in my walking. You know, we let the Lord be the Lord of our life. Truly, what happens at that point is everything that we do, God is doing it. Why? We are allowing Him to be the Lord of our life. And this is something that is missing for most Catholics, most Christians, is to live a life of this divine life. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through what Luisa says, what Jesus teaches Luisa, and then also teaches us. And that's basically to begin to live the life of heaven. See, why everything's falling apart is we're living a human life, a miserable life, separate from God. And this is why there's all this abortion, euthanasia, alternative lifestyles. What's happening is we're being flushed down the toilet. And where that toilet ends up is hell. And we've got to begin to really live a life of heaven. When this life ends, we continue to live the life we lived. Okay, so if we're living a life of hell, we can't expect to go to heaven. If we're living a life of heaven, we can't expect going to hell. What is very important is that we learn the way of heaven and no longer the way of earth, as Jesus is constantly telling us in the scriptures. So what God has done is He's waited for the worst of times, He tells Luisa, and to give us these writings. So these are the worst of times. And what God is going to do is He's going to prove the world wrong. He's going to prove that what He has planned for us is that preternatural life that Adam had before the fall. So what we'll do is we begin on page 2 here with volume 1. So the fine print is what you will read in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And don't just read through it. You have to read each paragraph and meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit show you what He has planned for your life. So in volume 1, Luisa says, after this, I, Luisa, remember that a few days passed after receiving Holy Communion that I lost consciousness and I saw present before me the Most Holy Trinity, whom I had seen in heaven. So we get a glimpse. Okay, this is volume 1. Volume 1 is really the second volume that Luisa wrote. Volume 2 is the first volume that she wrote. And after she wrote volume 2, her spiritual director said, how did you get here? How did you get to this point? And then she wrote volume 1. So with volume 1, she's showing that already she was in heaven. Already the Holy Trinity, she knows the Holy Trinity. She's seen the Holy Trinity. Okay, what does that mean? That's the beatific vision. What we are hearing today through mystics and locutionists and those who they have apparitions are locutions and apparitions, visions. This is not what Luisa had. Louisa entered into the beatific vision. She was there. Okay? This is not a dream. This is not a vision. This is not an apparition. And this is why the church is focusing on Louisa at this point, as St. Padre Pio said the church would, because this is a unique situation that she's writing about. Now, she's writing to people divine realities in human words. So to explain what that means, that's why sometimes people say, I don't understand what Louisa is saying. Well, the reason you don't is because she's talking three-dimensional technicolor to people that are only two-dimensional and black and white. We cannot enter into the beatific vision. So she's trying to explain to us the best way she possibly can of how great this gift is. And with our limited brains, our limited understanding, most of the time when we read Louisa for the first time, we just put it down and say, well, that's very nice, but I don't understand it. Okay? So what our job is to learn this language of heaven, to read, to continue to read, to study it, and to become fluent in this language. If you want a doctorate, you can do all sorts of doctorates. You know, why a dog poops in the garden, you know. My doctorate. This is my doctorate. Well, you spent a whole bunch of time studying, you know, getting all this information and doing your thesis about a little puppy, you know. You can do anything you want for a doctorate. This is the doctorate of doctorates. This, to know Louisa Picaretta, to know these 36 volumes, and to live them, not just to choose, I choose to know the divine will. No, it's you have to live this. Okay, this is what God is expecting of us. So, here she says, after receiving Holy Communion, she lost consciousness. Okay, she's in ecstasy. And I saw present before me the Most Holy Trinity, whom I had seen in heaven before. I've seen this before. And I immediately prostrated myself at the feet of the Most Holy Trinity's presence, and I adored them, Triune God. And I confessed my nothingness. Okay, so this is what's going to happen at the illumination of conscience. At the illumination of conscience, which we're all going to go through, whether we are alive at this point or even die, we're going to see God and we're going to know we are nothing. God alone is holy. Holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. He is the only one who is holy. So our whole job in the divine will is to recognize our nothingness. I am nothing. God is everything. I am weak. You are strong, Lord. I am little. You are great. I am a sinner. You are holy. See, our whole focus is God. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect our God is. How loving our God is. And when we recognize our nothingness, then God can show us who He is. See, if we think we're pretty good, like Hollywood does that. Hollywood says, hey, you're pretty great. You know, I'm going to give you a trophy here, an Oscar here, an award here, a pat on the back there. Same with sports. You are the greatest athlete. You have this, you have that. God alone is holy. And see, our focus can't be on ourselves, but on the glory of God. People spend, their whole life becoming the best at what they are, but they don't know God. And again, when you stand before God and God says, what did you learn? Well, I learned how to play the violin and I'm pretty good at it. You know, that's not going to look too good on your resume. We want to know God. We want to love God. As the saint said, we want to serve God. But what Jesus teaches Louisa is that He wants us to possess Him. And we possess God and God possesses us. Mutual possession. You see, we have to get to know who our Lord is. Who our God is. And so, Jesus has given us Louisa at this time to help us. Okay, we also will be in ecstasy. We will see God. We will experience the holiness of God and how we are nothing. See, that's going to be a shock to most people. When the time of illumination comes, when we fall on our faces, we're going to see holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. He is so holy, He is so beautiful, that we are going to realize our wretchedness. See, we are being called to perfection. That means every thought, every word, every deed must be in honor of God, in love of God, in service of God, in possession of God. So we have to really, what Jesus is teaching us is how to repair and redo everything in the Holy Divine will. That's why the prayer of the Holy Spirit is so important. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as Father Gobi says, is going to be the time of the second Pentecost. This time we're in is amazing. What we're going to experience, what we're going to see, is going to, no one has seen before. Now why? Because the life that Adam possessed was gone. The preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality is gone. No one has ever had this life except for Adam and Jesus and Mary. And now they gave this to their newborn, Luisa Picaretta. And now with Luisa, we also can possess this. But again, that's why it's so important that we focus on what God is saying. Now, we love the saints. We love St. Francis. We love St. Clare. We love St. Benedict. We love St. Dominic. And what the church has taught us for 2,000 years is how to become a religious, how to have a devotional life. Well, Jesus says that time is coming to an end. Now I want you to possess this life. I want you to possess this sharing in divinity. See, again, we are that drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day filled with wine. The priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. And that drop of water, that drop of nothing, hits that wine and becomes wine. It fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It's not separate. It's what God is asking of us is to be part of Him and Him part of us. That's why He created us. He created us so that we could have His divine life. So she says, I remember that I felt so plunged within myself that I did not dare to utter a single word. And when a voice came from the Most Holy Trinity's midst and said, do not fear, pluck up courage. We, the Holy Trinity, have come to confirm you, Luisa, as our own, and to take possession of your heart, Luisa. So the first thing is basically what Pope Benedict said, be courageous. The first words were basically be courageous, as the first words of John Paul II were, do not be afraid. Okay, you have to understand this is nothing to fear. God is coming in a way that no one has ever seen before. And he's asking us now to draw close to Him, get ready for this divinization that's going to happen for mankind. So here, don't be afraid, be courageous. This is John Paul II and Pope Benedict. We, the Most Holy Trinity, have confirmed to you, Luisa, that you are our own. We possess you. Now we hear of demonic possession. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying to Luisa, we possess you. Okay? That's for our benefit. And we're going to take your Luisa heart. We're going to take possession of your heart. Now, what's coming is this fire from heaven. This third purification is coming to the earth. The first purification was the flood, where the world was recreated, basically. The only family that was left was one family, Noah's family. Why? Because they had a pure line back to Adam and Eve. They didn't interbreed with the Nephilim. That's what Genesis 6 tells us. Now, Jesus says, it's going to happen like in the time of Noah. One family is going to survive. The family that's linked to Jesus and Mary. Now, we look at Jesus and Mary and this fire that's coming on the earth. And what is that fire? It's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So, this fire is coming. So, she said, what's the Holy Trinity say? We're going to take possession of your heart. Why? Your brain is one thing, but your heart is everything. This is why, Valentine's Day, everybody sends hearts out to everybody. Be my Valentine. I give you my heart. You are part of my heart. The heart is the central point. Without the heart, there's nothing. There's no life. So what happens is, the Holy Trinities take possession of Luisa's heart. Now, why God wants us to be linked to Luisa is so that God can have our hearts. We don't know how to do this. We have no idea how to give our hearts to God. How do you give your heart to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary? How do you give your heart to the new Adam and the new Eve? How do you do this? Well, Jesus is making it easy for us. If we link ourselves with Luisa, then it takes place. If we link ourselves to Luisa, then it is accomplished. And this is why knowing Luisa is the greatest thing so far that God can do for us. Here, Luisa, where Adam fell, where Adam left off, Jesus and Mary had to come to redeem. Christ redeemed us. Are they to co-redeem with Christ? The new Adam and the new Eve. And now they have a newborn, Luisa Picaretta. Now, if we're linked to that newborn, Jesus says, we possess the true life of Jesus and Mary. So here, this heart, our hearts have to be given to Jesus and Mary. How? Through Luisa. While this voice was saying this, I, Luisa, saw the Most Holy Trinity descend into my heart and take possession of it. And there the Most Holy Trinity formed their dwelling. So where does God dwell? In the heart of Luisa. Now we as Catholics know that in every church we have the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus Christ is present. That's why we come in and we genuflect. We say to the Lord, you are my Lord, my Master, my King, my Savior, my God, my all. You are everything. And I adore you, and I love you, and I praise you, and I thank you, and I bless you, and I worship you. That's what we do when we genuflect. You are God, and I adore you. Thank you for being here. And I want to spend time with you. Yet most churches, Catholic churches, are empty. Most Catholic churches are locked up. Our job is to be with the Lord and to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Why? Because it says very clearly, that's where he dwells, and he wants to dwell in our hearts. So he says to Luisa, the Holy Trinity says to Luisa that they have formed their dwelling in Luisa. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in Luisa. Now, when we're baptized, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. Okay? What the Lord is asking of us is he wants more. He just doesn't want to just dwell there. He wants to reign as Lord of every thought, every word, every deed. He wants to divinize us. He wants to make us aware that this human life that he gave to us, that he breathed into Adam, is he wants to breathe into us. He wants us to participate in him. Now, what's so spectacular about this is God breathed into Adam, and that's where we do our round of creation. When we pray our round of creation, it's because God breathed into Adam. When Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed into the apostles. That's our round of redemption. So as we learn this life that Jesus taught Luisa, we begin to pray the round of creation, round of redemption. Why? Because God breathed into us. He wants us to have his breath, to pray the round of creation, round of redemption. That's why it's very important to learn that. What is really spectacular is what God is doing that the saints did not possess. St. Francis did not have this. St. Francis learned how to do the will of God, but not live in the will of God. Why? Because this is Luisa's job. As Archbishop Piccieri says in The Dawn of a Mystery, he says very clearly that no one taught this. Why? Because this is Luisa's job. And in the Vatican right now, as they're studying Luisa, this is the third time going around, they're looking at this going, how everything has to change. Everything has to change. Why? Because what we have learned for 2,000 years is the devotional life. We've learned the saintly life. We've learned the good life, the holy life. Now, this reason for the new evangelization is for the divine will. And at this point, the church doesn't know that. As the church didn't know in 1925 for the feast of Christ the King. Jesus says that to Louisa. The church doesn't know why they're making this, because it's for the future, where the kingdom of God is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Louisa's cause began on the feast of Christ the King. Her whole cause began on that day. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. And no one is aware of it. Jesus says, I am a king. But where are my people? Where's my kingdom? He says, this is what he's going to do. This is 1925. He's going to form his kingdom. And we can see this, especially now with John Paul II of the year 2000. We've entered the third millennium, and the kingdom is coming. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to happen. The people are going to be changed. And he's asking us to be part of it. Everything will be fiat. And so our God is, he's depending on us to link ourselves with Louisa so that the human generations can be saved. This is not about personal holiness. It's not, well, I'm going to live in the divine will so I can have a high place in heaven. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to love God and to bring creation back to God. See, when we're baptized, we are in God's image. When we begin to live in the divine will, we become in God's likeness. The image and likeness of God. To do what God does. That's what the likeness is. If you're like your parents, you walk like your parents, you talk like your parents, you laugh like your parents, you even burp like your parents. Because you're in their likeness. You know, it's a friend of mine, when he went to Ireland, he never was in Ireland, but his father left when he was 18. His son was walking down the street. And he's a priest, and this man on the porch said, you're a Murphy, aren't you? And he goes, how'd you know? He says, you walk like your father. Now that was, the father left him when he was 18. I mean, this is something that is just really astonishing. We are going to be in God's image and likeness to do what God does. That's why Jesus said it. You'll do far greater miracles than I. Well, what can we do greater than Jesus? Well, he never drove in a car, one thing, and when we drive in the car in the divine will, how great that is. But there's greater things that are coming. This preternatural life that God wants us to live, I mean, we're only using 10% of our brain. God wants us to use our whole brain in to think the way Christ thinks. I mean, how spectacular is that going to be? So here what happens is the dwelling, the Holy Trinity forms a dwelling in Louisa. And Louisa says, who could tell the change that occurred in me? I felt divinized. It was no longer I who lived, but the Most Holy Trinity were living in me. Now, we get glimpses of this when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We get glimpses of this when we're deep in prayer. This is why it's so essential that we get rid of things that are wasting our time. Television, radio, newspaper, magazines. We have to eliminate those things. Sports. We have to eliminate those things. Why? So that we can have our mind focused on what God wants for us. Now, the devil wants us to be entertained. Because if we're entertained, we're not praying. If we are feeding our ego and our will, there's no divine will there. So our job is to start to eliminate things from our lives. I mean, this Lenten season, every Lent you have to give up more. Every Lent, which if you gave up something last year, give up something more this year. Why? Because so you can be miserable? No. It's so that you can be happy. So that you can begin to live heaven on earth. See, this is not... I mean, this is very serious. This is about eternity. And God needs us to be one with him so that eternity can come to earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job with Louisa, because that's her job. She says, Okay, now listen to that. It was no longer I who lived, but the Holy Trinity living in me. I mean, how astonishing is that? That's what God wants for us. It seemed to me that my body was like a residence of God, and that the living God was a residence within it. And because I could feel sensibly their Most Holy Trinity's real presence in my interior. I could hear the Most Holy Trinity's voice clearly coming from within my interior and resounding at the ears of my body. It happened precisely as when there are people speaking inside a room that their voices can be heard clearly and distinctly also outside the room. And that's, again, this relationship that God wants with us is He's not 1,000 miles away where you pray like the saints. Please, 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 please. That's what the saints do. On their knees, begging God. Please, 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 please. Please, I need this. We want this. We desire this. You are holy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, please. That's not the divine will. The divine will is, come, Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing. And as you take a breath, that is Jesus breathing in you. He takes you at your word. Come, divine will, beat in my heart beating. You hear your heart beating. That is Jesus' heart. It's not your heart anymore. He wants to take possession of us. He wants us to take possession of Him. Now here, this first paragraph, again, volume 1, Jesus and Louisa talks about how the Holy Trinity resides in her. God reigns in her. Now, this is what God wants for us. God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away from us. And He's not the God that we kneel down and beg, 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 beg. I mean, that's what the saints taught us. And that's good and holy and wonderful. But that's, God wants more than that for us. He wants us to know that He's with us. So that when the divine will reigns in us, as you touch someone, they are healed. Why? Because it's Jesus doing it. As you touch someone that's dead, they're raised to life. That's what's going to happen when the divine will reigns. When the divine will reigns, we are going to live that preternatural life that God breathed into Adam, that Jesus breathed into the apostles when He rose from the dead. What God has got planned for us is to be like God. That's why the devil, when he said to Eve, you're going to become gods. No, that's a lie. We're going to be like God. We're not going to be God. Why? Because God's breathing into us His life. This is His spirit, the ruah of God, the breath of God. See, all the charismatics and all the Pentecostals, they're praying for this huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is the spirit of Louisa Picaretta. That's what's coming to this earth. See, it has to be a human. Why? Adam was a human. He was to give this to his children, and he fell. So the Son of God and the Mother of God had to come to earth to breathe into us again this abundant life. They redeemed us. Are they co-redeemed with Christ? And now, 2,000 years later, they have a newborn. And Jesus is saying, link yourself to this newborn and you could have this abundant life where this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to transform the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. Transmuted, Jesus says. Transmutation is what God wants. What the saints say, we're going to be transformed. Okay. It's not just to be transformed, but to be transmuted. Now, what's a transmuted? When you read transmuted, first of all, you think of mutation, and that's not good, but it's what it does is God is going to take the inside and the outside and make it different. Okay, well, how do we know? Well, when God, on Mount Tabor, He was transformed he was transformed. So the outside became glorious, brighter than the sun, but the inside stayed the same. And then Jesus says, the greatest gift that I gave, that was the greatest gift that he gave to the Old Testament. To the New Testament, Jesus says, what God is going to do is give us, through the Holy Eucharist, transubstantiation. So the outside looks the same, but the inside, it's really the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. That bread is God, worthy to be worshipped. And now he says, what I've done is have the best for last. I'm going to bring transmutation. The inside and the outside are going to be transformed completely into a different element. That's us. That's what preternatural life is all about. Your inside and outside are going to be completely transformed, transmuted, as Jesus does. So that's what we have to learn. We have to learn that God is expecting a great deal from us, more than any people before. How do we know this? It took 4,000 years to bring the redemption through the prayers of the people, especially the Blessed Mother. And now it's taken 2,000 years of the redemption to bring about sanctification, especially because of the prayers of Luisa and the souls linked to Luisa. So what's coming is it's going to be spectacular. And our God is trying to get us ready. He's trying to get us ready so that the kingdom can be on earth as it is in heaven. So that we can live this life that God breathed into Adam in the beginning. But it's going to be even more than that. Because now Jesus, the new Adam, breathed into his apostles. So we have a round of creation and a round of redemption. So on again, in volume one, my spouse, Luisa. This Jesus is talking to Luisa, my spouse. Now this is, again, very important for us. It's the bride of Christ. Okay, virtues become weak if they are not strengthened and fortified by grafting of the cross. So again, the cross is very, very important to Catholics. The Christ crucified is supposed to be in every chapel, every church. Not a resurrected Christ, but a crucified Christ. We have to see the sufferings of Jesus. That's why Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, is so important for us, because God really blessed Mel and gave us this witness of Christ crucified. And again, for this Lenten season, we should watch it at least once as we are daily reading the hours of the Passion. We have to know the cross of Christ. We have to know this. Before my coming upon earth, pains, confusion, disgraces, calamities, sufferings, poverty, illness, and especially the cross were considered dishonors. See, they crucified slaves. But from the moment they were born by me, they were all sanctified and divinized by my contact. So this is why every house should have a crucifix. Every room, really, should have a crucifix. You should have a crucifix on the outside of your house. You have a crucifix in the inside. You know, every room should have a crucifix. Why? He says, this has been sanctified and divinized by my contact. So the glory of God is Christ crucified, as St. Paul says. They all changed their appearance. Again, this is all the sufferings. They changed their appearance, become sweet, pleasant, and the soul who has the good of having some of them receives honors. And this because the soul received the vestment of me. Okay, the Son of God. So again, the sufferings that we have. Now, all of us are suffering. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us suffer. Financially. There are sufferings that we have. And it's fiat. It's not like, oh, I got to go through this again. Oh. So, I mean, what the sisters taught us, what the good sisters taught us when we were younger, if you stub your toe, say thank you, Jesus. We have to learn that again instead of swearing. Everybody else is swearing. When you get hurt, thank you, Jesus. I'm participating in your crucifixion just a tad, just a little bit. So as we learn that suffering is important, we see that euthanasia is wrong. If we don't see that suffering is redemptive, then we look at euthanasia as we got to kill these people. We got to make sure they're dead so they don't suffer. We don't want them to suffer, because that's redemptive and it's not good. See, we have to begin to see things from Christ's perspective. When you are hurt, the first thing should be thank you, Jesus. That you're coming down from the cross, I'm going up on the cross a little bit for you. See, it's not that we love suffering, but we love Jesus. He's on the cross. He's the one that suffered. And so we want to take him down and take his place. So again, this vestment of Jesus is, we begin to see Jesus in suffering. This is why Mother Teresa was so good at what she did. She saw Jesus on those that were dying. And again, we have to get that sight. We have to get that understanding. We have to see things from Christ's perspective. Only those who look and stop at the cortex of the cross experience the contrary, finding it bitter. They are disgusted by it. They complain. And if someone has done them wrong, especially if someone has done them wrong. But those who penetrate into the cross, finding it enjoyable, form their happiness in the cross. Beloved daughter Louisa, I, Jesus, yearn for nothing else but to crucify you, Louisa, body and soul. And Louisa says, I want to be crucified. Again, we have a short time in Lent, 40 days and 40 nights. This is a time of penance, fasting, conversion. We have to understand that the glory of God is Christ crucified. He wants us to participate in his glory. So we have to get to that point of saying, Jesus with Louisa, crucify me, body and soul. Crucify me spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. I want to give my fiat to that. Again, all of us are suffering. There's not one person in this room who's not suffering. Some way. What do you do with your suffering? You can drag your cross behind you, complaining, cursing, swearing, being miserable, or embrace the cross and say, fiat. This is what you want, God. This is what I want. Thank you for this opportunity. See, when we die and when we stand before God, he's going to show us what suffering did. And we are going to want to come back to earth to suffer. Lord, just give me 5 minutes on earth just to suffer so that I can, this glory can be manifested. And God's going to say, no, I gave you the opportunity. So our job is to live. A friend of mine, she had multiple cerebral palsy. And she was in a mental institution for 42 years. And then what they did at the end of those 42 years, they said, there's nothing wrong with you, leave. She had nothing. She had no family. She had multiple sclerosis. I think so, yeah. And she was deformed. She had a speech impediment. She was, the children would look at her and scream at her, monster. And I was complaining to her one day how tough I had it. And she said, if you could throw your cross in a pile and walk away from your cross and then come back the next day and pick up any cross there, she said, you would pick up your own cross. She said, I don't want your cross and you don't want my cross. She says, the cross is your life. And it's so true. None of us are that bad off. But we have to embrace our cross. We have to embrace our life. Now, God has given each of us, difficulties maybe at the beginning of our life, maybe at the middle, maybe at the end, maybe all the way, all through our life. But that's our life. That's what Jesus gave us. And if we can't embrace our cross and see as the veil is of Jesus, again, we're going to spend a lot of time in purgatory. So as we understand this life that God has given us, we rejoice in it. I mean, here I was complaining about, the seminary, how bad the seminary was. And she goes, want to change crosses? I'm going, holy moly. Our life has been given to us by God, and It's only a short time, very short. And as you know, as we get ready for eternity, we have real that cross has to become our life. So Jesus says. So Louisa says. And while Jesus would say this, I would feel such infusion of yearning for being crucified with Jesus that I would often repeat, "My Jesus, my love, hurry, crucify me with you." See, that's why we have Louisa. We can't, almost sounds impossible for us to do that. I get a sliver and I'm a baby. You know? This hurts so much. So with Louisa, "My Jesus, my love, hurry, crucify me with you." I want to be linked to Louisa. She's done this. It's almost impossible for me. But I know that this is what God wants. And when he would come back, the first thing I would ask him, which seemed to be most important to me, were these: sorrow for my sins, the grace to be crucified with him. See, as we get closer to God, we see our imperfections. Okay, so we want to be sorrow. We want to have this sorrow for our sins. Every thought, every word, every deed. We want to be sorry for everything that we thought, said, and did. And it's what the devil does is say, "See what they're doing? Now look what they're doing. They're how they're thinking. Look how they're acting. Look what they're doing. Look. And then we don't focus on ourselves. So one of the first things we have to do is stop looking at other people and judging. Because when we die, when we stand before the Lord, God's not going to say, "So what did they do?" He's going to say, "What did you do? How did you live? Where were your thoughts? Where were your words? Where were your deeds?" And that's why Jesus says, if you don't forgive, you know, you won't be forgiven. If you judge, you're going to be judged. So the first thing we have to do to the devil is say, you know, back off. I have to focus on my life. This is why Lent is so great, to focus on my sins. How did I act from, you know, 1 to 7, from 7 to 14, from 14 to 21? How did I act from 21 to 28? What did I think? What was I saying? What was I doing? And you really have to repair, you have to begin to repair your life so that you can be perfect. Because that's the only way you're going to get into heaven. You have to be perfect to get into heaven. That's why Our Lady says when people die, the majority of people go to purgatory. Then she says many go to hell. Few immediately go to heaven because they haven't been perfected. And you are usually perfected through suffering. So again, our job is not to put people out of their misery so that they don't suffer, but to be with them while they are suffering. I mean, that's our job. Like Mother Teresa, you've got to be with soul. This is the best thing that you can do, is when people are suffering. Most people are abandoned when they suffer. You know, and boy, that's got to be tough, to be all alone facing, you know, suffering. So, but if you can be there with somebody suffering, I think that's great. So, sorrow for your sins and to be crucified with Jesus. It seemed to me that if I obtained this, I would obtain everything. And that's so true. This is what God wants for us. My daughter Louisa, what I look at in the soul when she strips herself of her human will. What I, Jesus, look at in the soul is when she strips herself of her human will. Okay, you use your free will to say, I don't want to breathe in my human will anymore. I don't want to walk in my human will. I don't want to think in my human will. I don't want to act in my human will ever again. This is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. So Jesus says this. He says, only when my most holy divine will invests the soul, divinizes the soul, and makes the soul all mine, basically, is when God is pleased. Take a look at these souls who call themselves devout. As long as things go their way, but when one little thing in their confessions are not long enough, if the confessor does not satisfy them, is enough for them to lose their peace, and some reach the point of no longer wanting to do anything. They're just moody. And they say that this is not my will that predominates them, but their own. Believe me, my daughter, when that they have taken the wrong way, because when I, Jesus, see that they really want to love me, I, Jesus, give them many ways, have many ways to give my grace. Okay, so when we say, Jesus, I want to love you, Jesus is saying that he's going to give us ways to grace. Okay, so you might not get a good, people say that to me. I went to confession, and I just felt, it didn't feel right. Well, did he say I absolve you from all your sins? Yes. Well, then don't worry about it. You know, the priest absolved you. See, there's something in confession that we were taught a long time ago to say the three B's. Be blunt, be brief, be gone. See, you're not there to talk. These are my sins. This is what I did. This is my life, and I'm sorry, and I want forgiveness. The Father goes, Bert, you're forgiven. I absolve you. Wow, that was easy. You know, people make confession difficult. You know, it's just you know, what do I confess? You got the Ten Commandments. Confess your sins. You know, how do you treat people? How do you treat God? Confess your sins, and then be blunt, be brief, be gone. You're not there to have a dialogue, unless you call the priest and say, "I'd like to come over for a dialogue." But if it's confession, you got a whole bunch of people outside waiting to go to confession. Three B's. Remember the three B's: be blunt, be brief, be gone. And so a lot of people, they get dissatisfied. Well, their confessions were not long enough. The confessor did not satisfy them. Now I'm upset. I'm worried. I'm fearful. I'm anxious and complaining. I'm negative. No, just everything has to become fiat. If the priest is short with you, fiat. That's what you want, God, fiat. See, it's not our will anymore. It's God's will. And how peaceful you will be when that happens. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and come back in a few minutes.